This morning we are going to be speaking very quickly on the subject of living in divine health and healing. This is part two. Living in divine health and healing. Our objective is to understand what it takes to live in divine healing and health. In the book of 2 John, third John, verse 2, he said, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou may prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. I wish that you may prosper and be in health." By way of introduction, we said earlier on that healing is the perfect plan, the perfect will, the perfect purpose of God for His people is divine healing, is divine health in His wholeness. Furthermore, we saw that healing is the bread or the food of the children. The bread of the children. Matthew chapter 15, verse 26 to 27. When a woman came looking for healing for her daughter, the Greek Syrophoenician woman, Jesus said to her, "It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs." But he answered, and she said, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table." The Bible earlier on said, without our dogs, non-covenant people who don't have a covenant relationship with God, say, without our dogs. He said, the healing you are looking for belong to the children, is the bread of the children. So there were three things we said in the first service. And that is number one, that God has made healing available for His children like parents make food available for their children. Everyone here today in need of healing. God has made healing available for His children the way parents make food available for their children. The first thing I said under that was that as natural as it is for food to be available for children, so natural it is for healing to be available for God's children. As natural as it is for food to be available for children, so natural it is for healing to be available for God's children. The second thing I'll say to that, and that is in this service, is as children, don't beg their parents for food. God's children don't have to beg their father for healing. As children, don't beg their parents to have access to food. The children of God, they are not permitted to beg God before they are healed. I'd like you to hear that. So God made healing available, and you are not permitted to beg God before you are healed. It is as natural as a child doesn't have to beg the parent to have food. Secondly, I said that God the Father made healing available, daily healing provision. Daily. God the Father makes healing and health provision for His children daily. What does that mean? That there is a daily healing allocation. That was what I said in the first service. There is a daily healing and health allocation for every child of God. But in addition to that, I'd like you to note this. There is a daily renewal and servicing of health and vitality. A daily renewal and servicing of health and vitality for every child of God. Daily renewal. Every child of God is entitled to have their health renewed daily. Why? Matthew 6:11 said, "Give us this day our daily bread." You know, in the aircraft realm, there is a cycle of servicing. Whether the aircraft flies or not, whether it has any problem or not, after 6 months, they do an inspection. Check this, check that, check this. After 12 months, after 24 months, after 36 months, after 72 months, it is routine. Fly it or don't fly it, it is serviced. God's own is not 6 months. It is not 12 months. It's not 24 months. It is daily. Hey! Is there somebody ready for a daily renewal of health? Shout, I am ready. Shout, I am ready. I am ready. I am ready. When you pray in the morning, give us this day our daily bread. You are asking us, charge my system. Charge my central nervous system. Charge my nerves. Charge my arteries. Charge my brain. Charge my muscles. Renew my health. Are you ready to receive the one that is for today? The last time you broke down shall be the last forever. Look at your neighbor, say, I came here for extra servicing. Say, Father, I am available for daily servicing. What I am saying is, you don't have to be sick for this servicing to happen. You don't have to break down for this service. It is on schedule. He didn't say, give me bread today. He said, give me my daily bread. So it's allocated for the day. He didn't say, God, can you give me bread today? No. Give us this day our what? Daily bread. And it is not good to give the children's bread to dogs. When he was referring to healing. So daily bread is daily health. Daily bread is daily healing. Daily bread is daily servicing. Daily bread is daily renewal of the system. That's why I say you renew my youth like the eagles. Somebody say loud amen. Somebody shout the loudest amen. Give the Lord the praise as you take your seat. Thirdly, God's foremost priority, and this one that I'm about to say should blow your mind. God's foremost priority for divine health and wholeness is his children. His priority. His priority. Is his children. His priority. His priority. His priority is his children. That was why I said it's not good to give the children's bread to dogs. Let the children be filled first. And then the woman said, the dogs can eat what fell from the table. He said, that's okay. Since you have that revelation, your daughter is healed. Do you know the meaning of that? First of all, I said, God's package of health and wholeness must first go around his children before it can be extended to others. It must first go around his children before it can be extended to others. But I'd like you to see this. 1, 2, 3. One, 2, 3, come. Anyone who is hearing me can come. I know you are doing your work very focused. Can you give me some handbills? As many handbills as you can. Supposing this is healing. This is healing. Okay, you come, since you are not wearing suit. This is the guy. This is an illustration, okay? Assuming that this is the guy that is not on the table, that is outside, that is the Greek woman who came. And Jesus said, I cannot give the bread of the children to outsiders. Let me use that word now. Listen to this. And the woman said, those of us who are calling dogs or outsiders, even the one that fell from the crumb under, we can take it. So, take your healing package. Take your healing package. Leave it. You don't know the one I gave you, another one. Bring, if you are not careful, you won't have again at all. Or you thought I mistakenly put it on the ground. And this one said, what of me? I don't have. He said, I can't give you, I have to give the children first. And Jesus said, the one that fell down, you can carry. This is where I am going. This one may be claiming, I don't have healing. He belongs to the table. And this one may be claiming, I don't have healing. And he belongs to the table. But this one has healing that he picked from the ground. Health. This is the summary. Every healthy, ungodly person you see is a confirmation that your own health was released. That is the second point of the matter. Every ungodly person you see in health is healthy from the crumbs. It is confirmed that the one that is your own was released. If Satan took it, take it back. Every ungodly person you see is a drunkard, he's a smoker, yet he doesn't have a headache, he doesn't go to the hospital, and you are not drinking, you are not smoking, and every 2 weeks, malaria and typhoid. That guy was healthy from the crumbs. You belong to the table. And yet you are talking about you don't have health. That devil is a liar. The health that belonged to you, somebody stole it. The thief came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And right now we receive it from the thief back.
That was why I dropped that thing, so that he could pick it. Am I communicating? When God said, be fruitful and multiply, and the devil said, you cannot give birth to children. Every cow you see that has a baby is a confirmation that your baby matter was settled. Because the same commandment God gave man was the same commandment he gave the animals. And the animals cannot obey it. And the devil say, you disobey it. So I announce right now, every ill health in any covenant person here, every genuine child of God here, every situation of ill health is broken right now. Every situation of childlessness in any daughter or son of God here, for as long as the goat is giving birth, as long as the dog is giving birth, as long as the cow is giving birth, the devil that says you should not have children, that devil does not exist. I command that yoke is broken. Go forth and bring forth your children. Don't forget this. Every ungodly, healthy person you see is a confirmation that your health was released. And every ungodly, healthy person is healthy from the crumbs. Healthy from what fell down from the table. Come up here. You know, it takes revelation to spark a revolution. It takes a revelation. As I lay, I don't know what is your challenge, but I cannot lay hands on everybody here today. But I want you to see the hand of God coming upon you. While we were in South Africa, they sent me, you forwarded to me the testimony. Where the man said, Pastor, when you laid hands on me in Leeds, UK in July this year, something died. And what died? Prostate cancer died. When you laid hands on me, he was diagnosed and he had all the things. But after that program, he went for the PET, the PET scan. The result came out about 3 or 4 days ago. Zero. No trace. No trace. No trace. Everything the devil has put in your body today, it is gone forever. It is gone forever. It is gone forever. Everything my Father in heaven has not planted in your body is arrested right now. Look at somebody by your side. Say, you belong to the table. Take your portion. Take your portion. Say, there are many people who are surviving and succeeding and healthy from the crumbs. You belong to the table. Take your portion. Give the Lord a praise. You know, if I stop here, I've already overpreached today. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. Having said all of this, what are the things we will do to walk in health? What do you do? How do we live to walk in health? Number one is by living in uprightness. Living in uprightness, in holiness, in righteousness. Psalm 119, verse 67. He said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. Affliction corrected my road missing. Before I was afflicted, I missed road. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now, have I kept my word? Have I kept thy word? Before, uncle, now I have to keep your word. Before I have misdirection and transgression brings affliction. In Mark chapter 2 verse 5, when Jesus was to pray for the man that was paralyzed, he said to the sick, your sins be forgiven. So he had to deal with sins before the sickness was healed. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the sick of the palsy, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." Be forgiven thee. James chapter 5, verse 16. See in scripture, when Jesus said, "Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed." That is, there are faults in lives that can prevent healing. Faults, errors in lives that can prevent healing. We see a direct connection. In John chapter 14, verse 30, in the first service, we saw the example of Paul the apostle. In this service, we are seeing the example of Jesus. He said, "Hereafter, I will not talk much with you. For the prince of this world cometh and has nothing in me." The prince of this world cometh and has nothing. The devil cannot impose anything on my life because I'm not carrying his property. That's what Jesus was saying. He has nothing in me. From today, every property of the devil on your life is set on fire. Say that amen like a believer. How does sin affect our health? Three things I said in the first three or four things, but because of time, I will go straight to this point. How? Number three, this will be now, but number one, for the sake of this service, sin brings a separation between man and God so that his hand is not stretched to deliver. Sin brings a separation between man and God so that his hand is not stretched to deliver. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1 to 2. He said, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot say, neither his ear heavy that he cannot hear. But your iniquity is separated you." So, even though his hand is not short, since iniquity separated you, he can't stretch his hand to deliver or to heal. That's what sin does. Secondly, sin destroys the boldness of faith to receive from God needed intervention. It destroys the boldness of faith. Many times the devil will tell you, "God will not hear you. You are a liar. You are a cheat. You are ungodly. You are iniquitous. God will not hear you." Proverbs 28 verse 1. "The wicked flee when no man pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion." You want to be free from afflictions? Be free from transgression. Say that again. You want to be free from affliction? Be free from transgression. Somebody say a loud amen. How do I live in order to live in health? Number two, by living in his presence. By living in his presence. And I'm going to give you two examples of people who walked in God's presence and live in hell. For this service, example number one, Abraham. In Genesis 17 verse 1, God spoke to Abraham and he said, "And when Abraham was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect." Abraham walked in front of God. In Genesis 19 and in verse 27, Abraham had the place where he stood before the Lord. And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. He had a place where he normally stand before God, or where he normally stood before God. And he had a working relationship with God. How did that affect him? He lived sickless and died in strength. Genesis 25, verse 7 to verse 8. Genesis 25, verse 7 to verse 8. "And these are the days of the years of Abraham's life, which he lived, 120 priesthood and 70 and 50 years. That's 175 years. Then Abraham gave up the ghost and died in a good old age, an old man, full of years, and gathered to his people. He walked before God. He lived in God's presence. So he was not permitted to be afflicted. Example number two, Moses. No, sorry, I did Moses in the last service. Example number two, Elijah. Elijah was a man who literally had a permanent stand with God, before God. In 1 Kings chapter 17 verse 1, Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall be no rain, there shall not be dew, nor rain this year, but according to my word. Elijah had a stand that was permanent in front of God. What was the outcome? There was no record of affliction, no record of oppression on Elijah. And when it was time to die, he cheated death. 2 Kings chapter 2 verse 11 and 12. He went up to heaven bodily like Enoch. 2 Kings. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it and cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. Elijah stood before God, and affliction could not find a place in him. What is the relationship between the presence of God and divine health? Again, I'm going to go straight to these points of this service. First, the presence of God is, all right, just only one. The presence of God is intolerant of the presence of evil. Is intolerant of the presence of evil. Another way to say it is, the presence of God excuses the presence of evil and its activities. If you read 1 Samuel chapter 5, verse 2 to 4, you saw how the ark of God was taken to the house of Dagon, and Dagon bowed. In John chapter 1, verse 5, the Bible said, the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The presence of God is the enemy of the presence of evil and all its activities. Right now I decree, every evil activity in the life of anyone, every trace of disease and sickness in your body, is retrieved and returned back to hell. In the name of Jesus. You believe that? Shout the loudest, amen. Number three, how do you live? In order to live in health. Number three is by living in love, which also implies living in forgiveness. There is a connection between love and forgiveness. Hebrews chapter 12, between love, forgiveness, and health. Hebrews chapter 12 and in verse 15, it said, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. The root of bitterness invites the fruit of trouble. We'll look at that shortly. Hallelujah. Somebody still here say amen. Somebody still here say louder amen. Songs of Solomon chapter 8 verse 6 says, set me as a seal upon thy heart, as a seal upon thy arm, for love is as strong as death. Is strong as death. That is, love carries enough power to withstand death. It has enough power to withstand disease. Now let's look at examples in the scripture of people who walked in love and were able to survive affliction. For this service, our example number one is Job. Anybody remember Job? Job was the man who was afflicted by the enemy. But the worst affliction of Job was the torment of his friends. Have you ever been in a situation where you are passing through challenges and people are happy? How many of you understand what I'm talking about? And there are those who are rejoicing that you have problem. You know, there are people who are almost more wicked than the devil. You'll be wondering, are these people human beings? Those were the kind of friends of Job. In Job chapter 16 and in verse 2, they were so terrible that Job referred to them as miserable comforters. Miserable comforters are you all. Do you know miserable comforters? Those who comfort you to increase your misery. What they are saying to you is worsening your pain. In Job 13 and in verse 4, he called them physicians of no value. Doctors administering expired drugs. You are all forgers of life, physicians of no value. Those were the kind of people that surrounded Job. I don't know who surrounded you, but those were the kind of people. Yet Job prayed for them. In Job chapter 42 verse 10, despite everything, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his so-called friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Look at the end of Job in Job chapter 42 and in verse 16. Job 42, 16. After this, lived Job 140 years and saw his sons and his sons' sons, even four generations. Please let me say this before I go on. Every action of offense is a trap of destiny. It is up to you to fall into the trap or to escape the trap. Every action of offense from anybody is a trap set to trap your health, to trap your joy, to trap your life. Somebody say, I escaped the trap. It's a trap. It's a trap. But people have had to. Somebody is living with you. You housed him or her. Fed them, clothed them, did everything for them. They were going to get married. You are not aware. Somebody you introduced to a place of work has started working there, but they have not called you yet. Somebody that escorted you to visit your fiancé. Next thing you knew, the guy stopped calling you. In a few months' time, you see wedding card. People there. Hi. Even if it is crocodile heart, even if it's animal heart, you feel like dying. Who do I trust? I thought it was my friend. It's a trap of destiny. As the devil does not know what to do to you, he used them to set trap. I've seen people die of cancer. I'm not telling you what I was told. My wife and I, about 22 or so years ago, went to pray for a woman. She was dying of cancer. While we were praying, the Lord spoke to me that she should forgive. That there's somebody that has offended her so badly. And I said to her, this is what the Lord just said. And it's like she busted out and started crying. Said, no, it will be, it's very difficult to forgive him. Who is that? Her husband. The husband of her youth. When they married each other, they had nothing together. Then all of a sudden, they had money. Built houses, duplex together. Then the man kicks her out and brings in a tiny girl as his wife to inherit the labor of the wife of his youth. She was in so much pain and bitterness. The spirit of cancer landed on her. On that bitterness, she couldn't come out of it. Every action of offense is a trap of destiny. If the devil does not know what to do with you, he can send people to offend you. I said in the first service, you cannot control the actions of people, but you can control your reaction. You cannot decide the actions of people, but you can decide your reaction. You cannot determine the actions of people, but you can determine your reaction. And you can say, you want to kill me? No, I refuse to be bitter. I have so much to do with my life. There are people that I have visited in the hospital. Breath is suspended. They are almost going. As I'm talking now, I can remember about three. One of them said, when I stepped in there, he was already on the other side. He was hearing my voice from afar. Even the medical people testified that he was literally gone. Stepped into the hospital and literally called him back into his body. The other one, his breath was choking. The other one, I personally took him to a respiratory physician. I personally took him because he had a respiratory condition that was challenged. All of them are, I am their enemy now as I'm talking. You don't understand. I can't even give you details. People that you try to help, that try to hurt you. People that present themselves as enemies and are happy to ally with anybody who they think is your enemy. That you literally jerk back from death. God is merciful. God is merciful. So merciful. Otherwise, why should the armed robber that is killing people still be alive? Why should the ritualist that is selling people's body parts still be living and breathing God's air? When you see actions like that, you take off your mind. Face your life and face your future. Because if you mind the opposition, you lose your destination. Somebody say loud amen. Somebody say loud amen. One day, Papa Yereko told me, he said, human beings are your greatest assets, and they can also be your worst liabilities. They can cost you the greatest, they can give you the greatest joy you ever have, and the human person can also cost you the worst pain you have ever seen. So how do you do the balance? So that you don't suspect everybody as this one is also going to cause pain. Or so you don't over-relax for everybody as this one is going to give me joy. It takes the wisdom of God. Somebody say a loud amen. Lift your right hand, say in the name of Jesus. I reject and refuse the trap of offense. I refuse it. I reject it now. Give the Lord a praise as you take your seat. That was Job. And then our final example here is John the Beloved. The one that wrote the book of John. He was called the Apostle of Love. He wrote more about love than any of the apostles. He was the one who said in 1 John chapter 3 verse 14. 1 John chapter 3 and in verse 14. And he said, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. He wrote that, the Apostle John. This apostle of love, in the days of the persecution of the church, church history said that this man was captured, like all the other apostles, and put in a cauldron of boiling oil so that he can be suffocated and his skin will be spilled, according to church history. You know how all the people died? Bartholomew was skinned alive, and Thomas was burnt to stake in India, and Andrew was crucified on an X-shaped cross, and Peter was crucified upside down. All of them died a martyr's death. Terrible death. John's own was to be put in boiling oil. Next thing they saw that he was coming from another direction. The person that they put in oil, he has evaporated and is coming from another direction. If you see that, won't you run? It was after that persecution that he was banished to the island of Patmos, where he saw the revelation, the whole book of Revelation. He died without being killed. At the ripe age of 120 years, minimum. He was the apostle of love. And the flow of love is always the flow of life. Is God speaking to someone here at all? I decree, I announce to someone here, every trace of the spirit of bitterness in your life is hereby arrested. The grace to forgive is released for you. If you are saying amen, say loud amen. If you are saying amen, say loud amen. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. What is the connection between love and health? I'm going to say three things in this service. I said three in the first, which I may not be able to repeat because of time. Number one, or the first here, the work of love provokes, listen to this now, it provokes goodwill and prayers from the hearts of the impacted. When you walk in love towards people, you are provoking goodwill and prayers from the hearts of those you are impacting. And that is strong enough to counteract satanic bad will. Dorcas. In the first service, we read about Dorcas in Acts chapter 9. Verse 36 to verse 41. Acts chapter 9, verse 36 to verse 41. How Dorcas died and the widow surrounded her. And she came back to life. They were showing the cloth and the coats that Dorcas made. In Acts chapter 14, verse 20, we saw how Paul the apostle was stoned to death. They dragged him out of the city as dead. From verse 19 to 20. Those he had impacted and loved, they surrounded him. and he stood up. It was from there we said, who surrounds you determine what you can survive. The walk of love. It provokes goodwill and prayers. Just keep loving people. There may be those who hate you. But in the long run, those who love you will be more than those who hate you. Those who wish you well will be far more than those who wish you evil. Waiting they work for you pass, waiting they work against you. Look at your neighbor, say it pass. Say who they work for you pass, who they work against you. Somebody say loud amen. Somebody say loud amen. Somebody say loud amen. Just keep loving people. Keep doing well. Was it not in America last year? And we're walking. And one customs officer in his custom dress say, wait a minute. Who are you? I think I know you. I think I watch you on YouTube. I know your dance. Custom that is meant to be checking my bag for waiting you carry. You know the next request? Can I take a picture with you? Chicago Airport. Do you understand what I'm saying? Meanwhile, there are people who want to die when you pass. Who does he think he is? Look at your neighbor, say, face your front. Just keep doing the right thing. Keep doing well. Keep doing good. Here or there from one angle, one quarter or the other. There is goodwill from somebody's heart that will knock out the witchcraft that is coming to attack your life. Say aloud, amen. Number two, lovelessness, bitterness, unforgiveness invite the activity of tormentors. When you don't love, when you are bitter, when you are unforgiving, you invite tormentors. Matthew chapter 18, verse 34 to 35. He said, and his Lord was wroth and said, and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your heart forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. If you don't forgive, torment us. And finally, number three, faith is impotent without love. Your faith can't work without love. Faith is impotent without love. Faith for anything. Faith to walk in divine healing. Faith to walk in divine health. Faith to be free from the oppressions of witchcraft. Galatians chapter 5 and in verse 6. The Bible said, for in Christ, in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Somebody say aloud, amen. Faith is impotent. There are many people who don't know why their faith is not working. And the reason is simple. There are too many people they hold in their heart. There are too many people they have tied in their heart. I am not saying become the friend of everybody. I am saying leave them in the hands of God. And refuse to allow their action to occupy your heart. Did you hear what I just said? I am not saying that those who want to kill you, you should force yourself to be their friend. You will be the most brainless person. to hand over your life to the person you know wants to kill you. That's not what we are preaching at all. Even Bible said, if your hand offend you, cut it off. If you can cut off your hand, how much more person? Cut off your hand and give them distance. Give them space. Don't allow them in your space. Greet them from afar. Relate with them from afar. But when all is said and done, hand over the matter to God. And don't let their matter occupy your mind. Don't let their matter occupy your heart. Lord, you are the righteous judge. If I did this person anything wrong that is warranting what they are doing, I am sorry. I ask for forgiveness and I ask for pardon. If I didn't do them anything that is warranting what they are doing, judge righteously. Give every one of us according to our due. In the name of Jesus. And Lord, I thank you for my life's assignment. And I thank you for what is ahead of me. Rapidly learn how to go past the offense and face the next thing. And take on the next agenda. Take on the next assignment. Am I communicating at all? Lift your right hand and say, I am forgetting. I am forgetting the things that are behind me. And I am reaching forth to the things that are in front of me. In the name of Jesus. Give the Lord the praise. Finally, if you want to live in health, you achieve it by living in joy. Living in joy. Nehemiah chapter 8 verse 10b, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Strength is equivalent to health. Habakkuk chapter 3 verse 18 and 19, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. When I have rejoiced, when I have joyed, then the Lord God becomes my strength. He is my strength. And he will make my feet like hinds' feet. Your health and your strength, they are tied to your joy. Is there any example of a person who lived in health through joy? Yes. One, David. That's for this service. David. And I want you to mark what I'm about to say. David was deliberately joyful or deliberately joyous. Despite the travails of his life. Goliath, Absalom, Adonijah the son of Haggit, Amnon. All manner of things came against David. But he was deliberately excited. In fact, he moved beyond joy to praise. He lived practically in the realm of praise. Psalm 34 verse 1. I will praise the Lord continually. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Psalm 119, verse 164. Seven times a day do I praise the Lord. Praise thee because of thy righteous judgment. He lived in health, died in strength. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 26 to 28. 1 Chronicles 29, 26. Does David, the son of Jesse, reigned over all Israel? And the time that he reigned over Israel was 40 years. 7 years reigned in Hebron. And 30 and 3 years reigned he in Jerusalem. And he died in a good old age, full of days, riches, sickness, weakness. Is that what he said? Days, riches, and honor. And Solomon, his son, reigned in his stead. Somebody here, you shall fulfill your days. If you believe that, say it loud, amen. Our second example here is our master Jesus. He was the embodiment of joy. He didn't only have joy. He distributed joy everywhere he went. In Luke chapter 7 verse 11 to 13, he saw the woman the widow of Nain, husband has died, only child is there. He turned that sorrow to joy. And then in the house of Jairus, in Mark chapter 5, verse 38 to 40, and he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. They were weeping and wailing greatly. And when he was coming, he said unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead. There is a way he said it. Are you people okay? Why are you crying for somebody that is alive? She has not died. All of a sudden, the people did a U-turn. The people that was just... What will make people laugh at burial ground? At the speed of it, carried a climate that can ventilate excitement. It can saturate an environment with a ventilation of excitement. When was, God forbid, in the village? You came and people were mourning. Dead body is still fresh on the ground and everybody started laughing on the spot. No. You get waiting where Oga carry. Where feet make person where they cry. They make person laugh. They laugh so till they tire. And the laughter did not stop because the child came back to life. And the laughter continued. I prophesy to somebody here today, the same Jesus is here. He shall turn your sorrow into laughter. Say amen like a believer. Say amen like a believer. Say amen like a believer. Look at your neighbor. Say, don't struggle to endure life. Try to enjoy life. Say, life, time is too short for endurance. You need the short time for enjoyment. Jehovah carries the weight of the world on his shoulder. Doesn't sleep, doesn't slumber, and yet is full of excitement. Bible said in his presence is fullness of joy. Not fullness of depression. Not fullness of heaviness. You can't be connected to God and not be excited. In his presence is fullness of joy. Only Satan, the devil, is the master of sadness. He doesn't have any joy in himself, so he can't give it. He's not looking forward to any future. Only hell. Am I communicating at all? And your joy is not a gift. It is a choice. When you see me dance, I dance like a winner, man. Oh. Make up your mind. I live my life very, very, very simple. I plan like I have eternity ahead. I live like I have one day. Do you understand what I'm saying? Don't let any devil box your life into frustration. As you see me so, I know they get Christmas dress. Because for me, every day is Christmas. Are you hearing what I'm saying at all? I announce to you today, anything that is trying to put your joy under pressure, that devil is arrested now. That force of hell that is putting your joy under pressure is under arrest now. You are saying amen, say a louder amen. You are saying amen, shout the loudest amen. That was the kind of joy that Jesus had. And he preached for 72 hours non-stop. What a strength. When it was time, he said, nobody taketh my life from me. I am the one laying it down and I'll take it up again. What a strength, what a health, what a life. After I returned from the journey yesterday, I had worked in that aircraft for 6.5 hours. Working continuously until we landed. I was eating word for myself first. And jotting notes and jotting light and insight. One of the things that God, that I heard in the course of my personal study, he says, who employs you determines who deploys you. It's not part of today's message. If the devil did not employ me, he can't deploy me. I'm sorry. I'm just telling you about one of the lines from my own eating. After I finished that, then I went on into today's message. Preparing 20 pages of message. And then went on into other things. And then landed kakraka like an iroko tree. Somebody sent me a message saying, you are welcome back from your journey. You must be very, 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 very tired from this marathon 1 week crusade, Zimbabwe, South Africa, and then all the way, and that you want to prepare for tomorrow's service. The Lord strengthen you. I said, amen. But I am not tired. I wrote it in a test. Because if I said I am tired, I will be lying. When we were there with my wife and children, she said, look at him now. She said, I am more tired than him. See him now. I am more tired than him. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? I am on the stage there dancing in South Africa, dancing in Zimbabwe. Dealing with devils. We don't have eternity to fulfill destiny. Don't let today drag in depression. Let it flow in excitement. Did you hear what I just said? What did I say? Don't let today drag in depression. Let it what? If what you are expecting from God does not happen today, it can happen tomorrow. So celebrate it in advance. Hey! 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 Stand on your feet with a shout of praise. Look at your neighbor, say, if what you are expecting from God does not happen today, it can happen tomorrow. So celebrate it in advance. Give the Lord a big clap. Don't let today drag in depression. Punchline. Let it flow. Give the Lord a big clap and a shout of praise as you take your seat. Very, very quickly, in 2 minutes. What is the connection between your joy and your health? Number one, joy is a direct supplier of strength, health, and vitality. Joy is a direct supplier of strength, health, and vitality to life. Direct supplier. A merry heart doeth good like medicine. Proverbs 17:22. Nehemiah 8:10b, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Joy directly supplies strength, directly supplies health, directly supplies vitality. And secondly, this is very serious. The absence of joy gives invitation to the spirit of heaviness, which is the same as the spirit of depression. You know, there is no vacuum in nature. If seed does not grow, weed will grow. If you don't plant seed, you don't need to plant weed. It will grow by itself. The absence of joy gives invitation to the spirit of heaviness, in bracket, is the spirit of depression. Are you ready for this now? And the spirit of depression, or rather, and depression is the foundation for both affliction and oppression. Depression is foundation for both affliction and oppression. There are depressed people today who have all manner of things moving around them. There are things we call neurogenic symptoms. When the doctor doesn't know what to do, I say, something is moving here, it's moving there, it's just moving around. It's some form of neurogenic symptoms. In Isaiah chapter 61, verse 3, he said, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. If you don't have the garment of praise, you have given room for the spirit of heaviness. It's a spirit. If you are not happy, your spirit is open for something else to occupy. It's the spirit of depression. That is why extreme depression becomes madness. Actually, what they call bipolar disorder, manic depressive illness, bipolar is two extremes, right? From one angle to another, the man is so depressed. Good morning. Mm-hmm. What is this life all about? Grace is coming gradually. Grace. The other extreme is wildness. Shut up there! Who do you think you're talking to? Just from one extreme to another. He gave invitation to the devil was on his own. You know, there are many people, the devil tempt them. There are some people who tempt the devil. Devil was on his own. You invited him. Am I communicating? That will never be your portion. Don't forget what I said. You don't have eternity to fulfill destiny. Don't let the day drag in depression. Let it flow in celebration. You don't have eternity to fulfill destiny. Don't let today drag in depression. Let it flow in celebration. How many people want to celebrate even if it's for 3 minutes or 5 minutes? Stand on your feet with a shout of victory. Take your seat first so you can do it well. So you can do it well. So you can do it well. Now stand on your feet with a louder shout of victory. Loudmost shout of victory. Hallelujah. While we celebrate right now, there are symptoms that will disappear. Pains, joint issues, ulcer issues. Satanic affliction, bondage, spirit husband, spirit wife, tormenting spirit, chains of bondage and affliction. They will just find their level back to hell. We're going to celebrate for 5 minutes. After that celebration, I'm going to release prayer of release. You are going to receive it. Take one or two testimonies, and we are set to go. Please don't move an inch until we are set to go. Look at your neighbor and say, I want to celebrate God. If the place right now, now, don't forget what I said. If what you are trusting God for does not happen today, it can happen tomorrow. So you can celebrate it in advance. But I can assure you it will happen today. But I can assure someone here, it will happen today. Today. Today is that day. Are you ready? Walk to three people, tell them it's happening today. It's happening today. It's happening today. Let's go in celebration.
loud and say, in the name of Jesus, I come before you today.
I come before you today.
I ask, Lord, that you forgive me.
That you forgive me.
Every guilt.
And everything.
In my life. That may be a reason. For affliction. In the name of Jesus.
I ask
that you draw me.
Closer.
In intimacy. Into your presence.
In the name of Jesus.
I am asking, Lord, that you baptize me. With the garment of love. And free me. From every spell. Of pity. Unforgiveness and lovelessness in the name of Jesus. And Father, I am asking for a flow of the Spirit of joy. I receive it now in the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and pray. Joy. Everywhere you are, when I say in the name of Jesus, you place your hand on your head and receive that healing package that is yours. Every ungodly, healthy person you see is a confirmation that your health was released. Every ungodly, healthy person is healthy from the crumbs. And you on the table, you can't be begging for health. Lift your hands and receive total freedom from diabetes, from prostate disease, from hypertension, from HIV, hepatitis, from chronic liver disease, from short-sightedness, long-sightedness, bad eyesight, from every form of arthritis, rheumatoid arthritis, every arrow of death. Every ancestral curse, generational curse, family curse, anything looking for you from your father's house, today they are ejected as you receive life, as you receive help, as you receive strength. Are you ready? Lift your hands when I say in the name of Jesus, 1, 2, 3, you scream, I receive, and you place the hand on your head. Father, let it be released. Release life, release strength, release health right now. In the name of Jesus, 1, 2, and 3, receive. Receive! Receive! Open your mouth and pray! Receive life, receive strength, receive health, receive your healing, receive your holiness, receive your deliverance, receive your liberty. In Jesus' precious name, I call it done. Wave your hands to the King of Kings and give him the praise, give him the honor. Clap your hands, all ye people. Shout to the Lord in the voice of triumph. Take your seat 1 minute. You receive the healing just now. You receive the deliverance just now. You receive a liberty. Somebody with a liver condition is healed, and a kidney condition on the right hand side also healed. Demonic movement on the right leg, affliction like an electric shock is healed. Lower back is healed. Eyesight is cleared and ear is hearing. A spirit jumped out of your body. Everywhere you are, something happened to you, got a healing, a deliverance. Check your body and confirm that you are healed, and quickly rush to the front. Let us hear from you. Give the Lord a clap as they come forward.